Where were you born?
Born in Liverpool, 1939, just before the war, on the January before the war.
Do you know Bootle?
Yes, I mean, that's one of the things that I suppose Cyril Summers and I got on so well. He was a Bootle lad and I was a Liverpool lad. Although he was much more of a Scouser than I was, in a sense. I grew up in the posh part of Liverpool, they would say, in Mossley Hill. My parents were doctors. My father was a GP in Mossley Hill and Allerton for nearly 30 years before he retired with ill health. So it's come from a medical family. They were Glasgow graduates and came to Liverpool. So yes, Liverpool is hometown. I did a degree in civil engineering at the university there. And my first job was with Robert McAlpine. Met the personnel officer and he says, "When do you want to start?" And I said, "Oh, well, I have a bit of a holiday. September would be all right." "Fine," he said. And he sent me off to Newport, South Wales, where they were part of a huge construction team building the Llanwern Steelworks for Richard Thomas and Baldwin, as it was in those days. It was a massive, massive thing, and I spent most of the time setting out for concrete bases for the huge steel rolling mills and the steel-making plants, and the whole lot was piled. They had to raise the level of the ground there by about 6 feet, because it's all marshland, and there'll be lorries coming down from the Welsh valleys day and night with shale and gravel and stuff to raise the level to make it possible to put piling in. And he said that you could run a road from Newport to London with the amount of stuff that they brought down from the valleys. Huge amount. Anyway, I was there in September and I left, I think that was 1960, after I graduated.
Yeah.
September 60. And then stayed there until, I think it was July-ish, 1962. And I was the job was coming to a conclusion, and I was transferred, as part of my career development, to go into the design office in Calpines, having spent my first 18 months out on site, which is a wonderful experience for me. You know, I learnt a lot about the world and life and so on.
And being part of a team as well, I suppose.
Well, yes, I mean, the chippies, as we used to call them, the labourers, yeah. We're all part of a team, and I always thought we were all equally important. I couldn't get on with my job until they did theirs, and they couldn't get on with the job until I'd done mine as the engineer. And then I moved up to Cheshire, to Knutsford, to the McAlpine's base there with the Nuclear Power Group, and we were designing nuclear power stations. My first job was with the Dungeness A, as it's now called, down at Lydd in Kent. And he once flew a few of us down from Manchester to the Lydd Airport to see how the construction was going. And then Dungeness moved on to the old Beyond 7 one. That was the first of the advanced gas-cooled reactors, AGR, the pre-stress concrete pressure vessel. And all I remember was designing a pump house for that. So I was based in Knutsford, but that was the very cold winter of 62-63, and I was in digs in Knutsford with a little old lady and another bloke, and it was freezing cold. I used to wear my duffel coat in bed at night. No double glaze or anything like that, a little old cottage. Well, my home was still in Liverpool, and I decided that, having bought my little mini car in Newport, S69 BAX, the white cream mini, and so I decided I would see if I could travel from Liverpool each day to Knutsford, and soon I found there were two other fellows also travelling from Liverpool. We used to meet up and take turns in driving from Liverpool to Knutsford each day.
How long did that take?
About three quarters to an hour.
Well, that's not too bad.
The new bridge, well, it's now the old bridge, of course, was opened, you see. That was the arch bridge. You know, they've opened a new bridge, the gateway, which is a suspension bridge. Well, so you could do it. it, and travelling through the countryside, and so I lived at home again, and that's why I linked back with the church. And that's all part of the story. Going back to first arriving in Newport, I was brought up in a Presbyterian Church of England church in Liverpool, as a when I was baptised and grew up, confirmed and became a member. And so, you know, church was at least twice on a Sunday, church in the morning, Sunday school in the afternoon. And in those days, being very Scottish in the family, from a young age I used to wear the kilt every Sunday. That was my Sunday best. And once we came to Newport, I thought I'd look out for a Presbyterian church. And catching a bus from Newport town out to where we were living in the McAlpine's hostels at Pie Corner, well, it was a huge accommodation place for everybody there. You know, sort of temporary accommodation, hut after hut, not huts, what do you call them, I don't know. Anyway, you had your own room and there were showers and there were canteen and things like that. You were fed and watered. And on the road coming out of Newport to Pie Corner, along Corporation Road, I saw this sign, Welsh Presbyterian Church. I said, well, and it was English speaking, I think, which is important. So I think probably the following Sunday or so, I don't know, I must have got a lift or a bus in and went to the evening service on the Sunday. I was a bit sort of nonplussed because it was all ladies doing everything. It was a bit strange. Never had ladies doing everything in the church before. See, you're going back a long time when ladies didn't do much in the church on a Sunday. Anyway, they were very warm and welcoming, and so I went again the following Sunday and met Cyril Summers, and that's where it all started. And Brian says I did, or Valerie says I did quite a lot in the church, or was involved. I can't remember what else I did. Whether it was a choir or not, I used to be in the choir in the church in Liverpool, so I always loved singing, still do. So whether they had a choir then, I can't remember. But I wouldn't have had time to do much else, you see, because I used to work 5.5 days a week. Saturday was a morning was a normal day, and then there was overtime Saturday afternoons and Sundays as well, which was quite important because I was saving up for a car, you see. And but eventually I was able to, the bank manager, my father knew a bank manager, and took out an insurance policy, and that was the security for getting a loan to buy a car. Anyway, so there we were. And I had a very warm welcome, met the Selby family, the Martin family, all sorts of people. A lovely sort of community group, very family orientated, I think.
And that was when the old church was still standing, is that
oh,
right?
Oh, crumbs, yeah. Yes, this is 1960-61 to 1962. And so eventually I was moving away back up to Knutsford, you see, said my farewells, and I suppose we must have kept in touch, Christmas cards or something, with Cyril and Dorothy, wasn't it?
Dorothy.
Very bubbly character she was. I can still hear her laugh, or chuckle.
She was lovely.
And then things started to happen. When I was in Knutsford and living back at home, joined up with the church again, I was invited to join the old FOY, Fellowship of Youth, a youth group which met on a Sunday night. And of course, when I went to I should have said that, in Newport, I suppose I did stand out because I went in my Sunday best. I wore my kilt on the Sunday. Well, not many Scots are wearing a kilt in Newport, I'll tell you. And maybe they thought, here's this funny Scotsman who comes to church in a kilt on a Sunday in a Welsh Presbyterian church. So there you are. Perhaps they thought me a bit different, obviously. But I'm a tall fellow. I'm sort of 6'3" in those days. And so I stood out. But that was part of me. And anyway, having joined up in the church in Liverpool again and Allerton, I with the youth group, we were asked one time to help out at an Anglican church not far away, leading their young people on a weekend conference. And about four or five of us went along just to assist. And at the end of this conference, we were asked, will somebody give a testimony about their faith? And we all looked at each other, and they looked at me and said, Angus, you can do it. I thought, oh, help. Never having done it in my life before. You know, not just what do you believe, why do you believe it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I can't remember what I said, but I struggled through. And that must have been the October. And in the October, the minister of the church, Hal Springbett, gave the annual notice about the need for ministers to train at Westminster College, and if anybody wants ever to think about it, have a talk with me. Well, I was sitting in the choir stalls, and a little voice seemed to say to me, how about you, Angus? And that little thought wouldn't go away. So I had a word with my minister and said, what's involved? I don't know whether I want to do this or not, what's involved? And he told me, and come November, the youth group were taking the evening service and had to plan it, and who's going to do the talk or the sermon? Guess who he looked at? I said, well, I'll have a go. And I saw it as a test that if I could do this, then maybe that's God saying something to me. Because by this time I had sort of said, well, God, this, my life is yours, what do you want me to do? And so I did it, and the minister had looked at it beforehand, made one or two suggestions, and I got through it, giving my first sermon in my kilt, of course, which I had done, oh, I have done one since. And it all happened. So I felt, yeah, okay. So then I, it's a step of faith. If God wants me to be a minister, then the doors will open. If he doesn't, the doors won't open, will they?
Yeah.
That's what a step of faith is about.
Yeah.
You've got to go for it and see what happens. And I went for interviews and got past those, had to go to London, got past those. And lo and behold, in, this is 1963 by now, I found myself doing an entrance exam in Westminster College, and a week later I found I'd passed. Now, so, and that's when my training started in Cambridge for 3 years. Meanwhile, back in Liverpool, having met up with the youth group, there was a young lady called Althea Jones, whom I used to know in the Sunday school days when she'd be about 5 or 6 and I'd be 3 years older, 8 or 9, something like that. She had long black hair and pigtails. I had two friends, Jean and Joan. And eventually, she, I think, invited me to join the FOI when I came back to Liverpool. And within a year or so, we sort of had met and obviously been on a few outings with young people. And we fell in love. And that's history. We
that's
had a golden wedding nearly 3 years ago. It was 53 years this year.
Congratulations.
And so, but it's 1963, I must have had some sort of letter from Cyril Summers saying, the problems of the church building, the tower was subsiding, I think it was, nations were giving way, and it was going to have to be demolished, and they were planning to have an international voluntary work camp to start, you know, a rebuild scheme, but they needed to prepare stuff, and the groundworks for it. Would I possibly be able to come and be a work leader, if you like, with my engineering experience? And I thought, well, if this is what God wants me to do, I'll have a go. And I went to the senior engineer when I was working in Knutsford and said, look, is it possible to be away for a month doing this project for a church in Newport where, you know, we used to work with McAlpines then? And he said, yes, but it would be unpaid leave. You know, you can't get paid for being away for a month. Use up all your holiday. That's what I did. I came down, I was fed and watered for a month in, I think I stayed with the Selbys. I think so. I mean, this time Alfie and I were engaged, and she came down one weekend and met Cyril and Dorothy and the family. It was only just for a weekend. We can't remember if we got any photographs, because we didn't do many in those days. I've got a few of the steelworks I took, but they're all transparencies anyway.
Oh, yeah, they would be quite
where they are now,
to view.
I've no idea.
Oh, so that's interesting, because I got the impression that you were at the time working on the Llanwern steelworks.
No, I've gone by then.
No,
gone away.
Not there at all.
Sir Robert McAlpine, yeah. Yes. They're still going very good firms.
Yes, they
still
are.
In fact, they're doing a big job in Cardiff at the new central hub, is it, for the assembly? I looked at their website yesterday. Oh, they did the Olympic Park. Within budget and on time. They all did the Arsenal Emirates Stadium. It's a well-known firm. So I was pleased. And when I left them, you know, I gave my notice in, so I was going to train for college, the personnel manager went, just had a nice sort of memo saying, we think we could have made you into a good engineer. But he was interesting, because when he realised what I was doing to train for the church, he said, well, and he was a Crusader leader. Heard of Crusaders?
Not really.
Well, it's work amongst young people. It's basic. No, it's not an Anglican group, but it's a very evangelical group working with young people. How well it's going these days, I don't know, but it was quite a strong group in gospel when it was there. So there we are. We came down and worked for a month, and it was amazing. I don't really have a record of all the people who came from around the world.
Oh yes, we have, and we've tried to contact them through various means. The only people that we know is
people from the United States, Indian. I think there's a Hebrew girl from Israel. There was Swiss, the Swedish, I think there were English and Welsh. I think there was a Scots girl, and incredible. I think we did gather at 8 o'clock in the morning, prayers outdoors, because there's nowhere to stay for that. And they work from 8 o'clock till about midday, have lunch somewhere, and then have the afternoon off to go and visit and so on. At that time, I was sort of going to retire and have to read in preparation for my entrance exam at Westminster College in Cambridge, trying to read philosophy of religion. I think I couldn't make head or tail of it. I was an engineer, you know, this is all new to me. Different language.
At any point, did you think, am I really doing the right thing, or you didn't feel? No, you just had this faith that this is the right path for you.
Well, if God wanted me to do it, he would open the doors. But when I found out for the entrance exam, I had to do New Testament Greek. That sort of blimey. But the minister helped me a lot, and because as an engineer, you do a lot of maths. And so I knew the Greek alphabet from alpha to omega, because it's all in substitution, isn't it, in math? X, Y, Z, and alpha to omega. And I'd done Latin at school, so the grammar of New Testament Greek and Latin are very, very similar. So it wasn't too hard to pick up, it's just the vocabulary and you know, all the verbs and nouns. So I passed it somehow, but then I also had to do Hebrew at college, and that really was a struggle. You spent hours getting very little way. And for the first year, I sort of floundered, because to move from a scientific engineering background into a theological, philosophical, language-orientated and all that was very strange. And it took me a year to begin to fit things together, as well as a lot of Bible study and history. I hadn't done history. I failed my history exam the first year, because I thought, history, we just read it and it will come back to you. Oh, no, it doesn't. So my first summer holidays, I had to work hard. Meantime, my parents had moved up to Scotland, so I had no base in Liverpool. And my Althea's parents took me in as a lodger. So I lived with my fiancé for 2 years in those days. That was very risque, wasn't it? And while you were at college, you were not permitted to get married, you see. That was the rule at the time. But by 2 years later, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church changed the rules that you can get married while you're in study with the permission of your minister, the principal of the college, and the moderator of the General Assembly. Said, of course you can, yes. Principal said, yes, Alan McLeod, he's a lovely Liverpool man. And the moderator came to see me and interviewed me quite so seriously. Do I really understand what you're doing? Well, I was 26 by this time. So we got married in 1965, and I finished the course at Cambridge in 1966. So, meantime, back in Newport, all these wonderful young people, you know, it wasn't all plain sailing because, you know, there were the group dynamics. How many were on it? About 15, 20?
Something like that. I've got a list of them. Yeah,
something like that. Well, you know, gelling that together of all different backgrounds and cultures was quite something. And, you know, hats off as you look back to Cyril and Dorothy for helping it happen in the way it did. And what I'll you know, the poor things had to be scraping the mortar off bricks, cleaning bricks. That was their major job.
So dirty and hard.
Almost soul destroying. I think the weather for that month was quite good somehow, looking back. Not too bad. There were some lovely mornings. But my sort of wonderful memory, which never left me and influenced my thinking, that on the very last morning, Cyril arranged for a sharing of communion outside in the open air, in the round, with all these young people. And they all took part, as far as I can remember, the Roman Catholics, and even this Israeli girl who was, you know, Hebrew, all took part in the sharing the bread and the wine. And, you know, that image has never left me, that this is how the church and the world should be, sharing together in harmony and peace and in love for one another. And if you can do it here, why can't they do it elsewhere? And I've always been so sort of disappointed in the way people look back at this is our tradition and we can't possibly change this, do that. And so far from how I see what Jesus wanted things to be. But that for me was an insight which has never left me all my life in church life, the ecumenical scene.